excluding Jesus, who do you think some of the greatest were some of the greatest people in history? I want an answer. I want some people to share. Who do you think were truly some of the greatest people in history? Don't count Jesus. Moses, Martin Luther King, Abraham Lincoln, someone out here, Henry Ford, Billy Graham, okay? All right, in other words, we've kind of got an idea of what greatness is all about. And if we thought a little more, we'd think of, times of war and who was a great leader then, or like Roosevelt during the Depression and war. We have some kind of idea about what greatness is all about. Now imagine this. This scripture is saying that of all men, John the Baptist was the greatest of all men and would go down in history as the greatest of all men. Now this is kind of interesting because it appears to us in the Gospel of Matthew, it's a little different from how this part of the story comes up in the Gospel of Mark. But you see, it fits Matthew's theme. Matthew is very much concerned about the kingdom of God. It's all about the kingdom of God as opposed to the kingdoms of this world. And there's even a little hint in this passage, because this passage says when John sends his disciples to ask Jesus these questions, if he is the one, then he's in prison. And maybe a little down and dejected, wouldn't you be if you were in prison? And somehow he had gotten word to his disciples, go and inquire of this man Jesus and see if he's the one, or am I to look for another? In other words, there's a hint, a little hint that John the Baptist's faith might be suffering a little bit. You know, if you're in a bad situation, if you're suffering a lot, there's a threat of death from the king who has power over you. You know his wife hates your guts and would do anything to get rid of you. That would be a time in a dark, dingy, probably moist prison cell to challenge your faith, wouldn't it? And so in Matthew's gospel, there's this hint. And in spite of that, Jesus says, of all men born of women, John the Baptist is the greatest. Of all these people that have been listed, of all of the people that went before and all who have come after, Jesus pronounces that John the Baptist will be the greatest of all men born of woman. Now, why is that? Because history came to a focal point. John the Baptist is the last prophet in the line of the Old Testament. He is the Elijah that is proclaiming the coming of the Messiah. That John the Baptist's proclamation that we heard in this scripture passage, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you." It is John who just cuts history half in two. And on this side of the line is John the Baptist, the last in the godly tradition of the prophets. On this side of the line that splits history is the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. That history is split right down the middle because of his proclamation. And even if, and it's not certain that that's what the gospel says, but even if there is a hint that his faith is wavering a little bit in that dark dungeon of a cell, he is the greatest of all men born of woman. Because you see, Jesus was born of the Spirit. Through a woman, but born of the Spirit. And what's even more remarkable in this passage is what he grants to you and to me. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Once you cross that dividing line in history, the kingdom establishes a new basis of greatness. And it's not the way the world sees greatness, it's the way God sees greatness. Last Friday, I believe it was, I went to see Alexander the Great that's playing in the movies now. If you thought about going, I don't know that you want to invest that 3 hours. If you got 3 hours you really want to kill, that'll do it. It was a pretty long movie. I just didn't like the story plot. The story plot was to tantalize modern thinking. And there were all kinds of sexual innuendos and weird things that were caught up in the characters that may or may not have any historical basis, mostly on the not side. And then I didn't like the fact that the way it ended and everything is not historically accurate according to the accounts of the conquest of Alexander the Great. But certainly, he was a great man. Or I should say, a great boy. When his father Philip went off to Byzantium to attack them, he left Alexander at home. He was 16 years old. And there was an uprising in one of the Greek tribes and provinces, and he put together an army, set siege to a city, broke down the city, and put down the rebellion, and ran off the barbarians that were involved in the whole process at age 16. At age 18, as his father moved towards wanting to attack Persia, he joined his father's army as the head of the left flank of the cavalry and did a masterful job of leadership at the age of 18. And then when his father died, he accomplished what his father had not accomplished. And he beat the armies of Darius II and started his conquest that took in Greece and the area of the Holy Land all the way down into Egypt, extended through Syria and Persia all the way to the Indus River in India. And he died at the age of 33. And he had accomplished all of this, one of the greatest conquerors in all of the world. And he had some pretty great dreams. He didn't understand why people of different colors and different languages and different faiths couldn't find a way to live together in peace. He had a dream that somehow when he went into these areas that he conquered, he freed the people. He made them a part of this kingdom he was establishing. He wanted people to work together, to live together, to respect each other, to develop a world community which was unheard of in the years between 356 and 323. Indeed, he goes down in history as one of the great men, and yet our Lord says to you and to me, we can be greater than the greatest, even if we're the least in the kingdom. Isn't that amazing? That dividing line in history, with John on this side and Jesus on this side, says that when we believe in Jesus, if we're least in his kingdom, we're greater than the greatest people who've ever lived. Do you feel that way? On a day-to-day basis, do you feel that you're that great? But we should. Because history has been divided before our very eyes, before the eyes of the world. And we believe in Jesus Christ. And, you know, apparently there's a hierarchy in heaven. You know, you've heard me talk about when you go to heaven, are you going to be in the cheap seats? Well, obviously Jesus talks about the greatest in the kingdom and the least in the kingdom. There's going to be some strata there. But even if you're the very least in the kingdom of God, even if you just barely make it through the pearly gates. I mean, you get in and your clothes get stuck as they close the gate. I mean, that's how close it is for you getting in. You're still greater than the greatest person who's ever lived. And we ought to live like that every day. We ought to live like we believe that. We ought to believe that we're a part of a divine kingdom that gives us a place in this world. Whether that world can recognize it or understand it or not, we're great, even if we just got through by a hair. And then Jesus tells us something very important. To be greatest in the kingdom comes from serving others. See, we'll determine our place in the kingdom of God right here on earth. One thing that'll help us is to believing we're great. You know, that's going to boost us. And as a great person, what can I do today as a great person to honor my Lord, my King? What can I do to witness to my Savior and my Lord? Because I'm a great person, and if I'm a great person, I can do great things, right? I mean, if we're a great person, people expect us to do great things, right? And Jesus said the greatest thing we can do to be great in the kingdom is to reach out and serve other people. I heard a great story today of how a little child witnessed to a friend on a school bus on a field trip who didn't know about the church and told them about Jesus dying on a cross for all of us. Boy, that's a step towards greatness when you're a little kid and you're already doing that. Don't you think? Don't you think our Lord thinks that's a step towards greatness? What are the great things you're willing to undertake in the name of Jesus Christ to serve people in this world? Because that will make us great in the kingdom. We already got it made that we're already greater than any person who'll ever live. Believe that. Start thinking that way and start living that way by serving others. And that will fix your place in the kingdom of God forever. You only got one life here. And that's going to determine where in that spectrum of things you're going to spend eternity. If all you care about is just getting in the gate, I guess you can coast. But there's still the responsibility that you're still greater than the greatest person that ever lived. Live like it. Love like it. Serve like it. That's what Jesus calls us to do. And then we can have joy in our hearts and rejoice because we know our place is firm in the kingdom for now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Father, I don't suppose any of us came here this morning expecting to be told that we were greater than any person who had ever lived, and yet that's exactly what you said in your word. And we believe your word. It's hard sometimes because our world has all of its standards about greatness, and we have these ideas in our head about who are really great people, and we don't really think we're one of them. Maybe we need to change our thinking. Maybe that's what we need to become the church victorious here at St. Matthew's in this community, making a difference. Because we're great people serving a great and wonderful God who has sent a wonderful Savior to change our lives and to change the world. May we live the greatness that you have bestowed upon us as we serve others in the name of our Lord. Amen.